Good evening and welcome to Spirit Radio. I am your host, Willie Hassel. Along with my co-host, Lynn Nickerson, we will take you on a journey into the unknown, where the paranormal becomes the normal, a journey to a world cloaked in darkness, where reality becomes a thin veil. So sit back, relax, and join us as we venture into the shadows, the darkness, the unknown, and back. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. I'm Willie Hassel, along with the lovely, the mystical, the mysterious, the squeaky microphone, Lynn Nickerson.
Uh-oh. Good evening, Willie.
Good evening. How are you?
Super.
Super?
Yep. Good. It's a great day today. Beautiful, beautiful temperature.
Oh, it was. It was an sunny, absolutely beautiful, gorgeous day. So anything new and exciting on your end of the...
In my life?
Anywhere. down the street, out back?
Let me see. The cops came 4 times last night.
Ooh.
No, just kidding.
What did you do?
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Yeah, the cops were just kidding, or you were?
Neither. It didn't happen.
Oh, didn't happen? Okay. All right. So, hey, shall we... why don't I tell people what's going on tonight?
I think it's a good idea. Good place to start.
Okay. So, tonight on Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. There seems to be places in this world to which strangers seems to gravitate. Whether it's their geography, history, or some inexplicable unseen forces, these locations possess what can only be described as a certain evil. In some cases, they drive people to do unimaginable things or to experience what can only be described as true terror. Supernatural, mystery, and strangeness are some of the terms that best describe the haunted forests of the world. The haunted forests.
Oh, haunted forests of the world, yes.
Yes. Since I figured I put that, since that's what the show is about tonight.
I think that's a very good idea. We're going to talk about haunted forests tonight. And it's going to be on a global basis. So, I don't know, it wasn't until just a few years ago that I realized that haunted forests existed. I always thought, oh, it had to be a building or maybe a location, but what would be in a forest, you know?
Yeah.
And then I began to hear... Go ahead.
I said good point.
Yeah. And then I began hearing strange stories about, well, other places across the globe. And then we've got a very interesting person. She's been on our show a couple of times now. Her name is Mary Sutherland. I'm still a little hoarse. I haven't gotten rid of the laryngitis, but I'll try to be clear tonight. So she was on our show twice, and most remarkable about what she's doing, she's a very curious person, but she has been offering tours to the Burlington Haunted Forest in Burlington, Michigan. And this is probably out of all of the choices that Willie and I have selected for tonight to talk about. This is probably the friendliest place. It's supernatural, but it's kind of on the friendly side because there really is a negative stuff that I've seen that has happened here. But I wanted to give our audience an idea of what's going on there. She's been running these tours for quite a while and just recently has decided to cancel them because she's got book projects going. She doesn't have enough time. But this woman has taken many, many photos during these tours. Now, what these photos reveal are just shocking. And what you would say if there weren't that many of them, you'd say, oh, she probably photoshopped them. But there are hundreds of these photos. Now, some of the things that she has captured, she's captured spirits. I've seen 2 fire spirits that she has captured. It looks exactly like flames, only the flames are in the form of a person. She's captured photos of ETs that are watching her tour members. And the other thing that she has captured, which just blows my mind, She captures something on film that I could only explain to be like two timelines, because she will capture a person that they have. There are usually many people, 15 to 20 people in these groups, and they kind of break off and they'll sit down on the ground and they'll congregate together, and then they'll sit and they'll meditate. And she takes photos of these different people meditating. What happens is she may get like maybe seven people in a photograph. She will have what looks like a double exposure. But the difference is the double exposed people are in different positions.
That is the bizarre part about it.
That is the bizarre part. There's no way that she could do that. What she uses is a Samsung digital camera. And she said it has a sensitive infrared range on it. So I guess that's why she's able to pick them up. Plus, she does have a heck of a sensitivity, call it psychic or whatever. She's always picking up spirits and ghosts. But most remarkable are these pictures of people in different positions. And if you look at the photograph, not everyone has changed their position. But often all of them have changed where their position is. So if they're sitting in the grass facing you, they may be sitting above themselves 6 inches in a different position, in a different location. Yeah, that's the mind blower.
Yeah, when you first look at it, you say, oh, it's a double exposure. But then you look closer and you notice, oh, well, in the second set of heads or whatever, they're looking in a different direction.
Yeah.
So that's not a double exposure.
No.
And like you said a couple minutes ago, the first thing you might think of is Photoshop, obviously.
Yeah.
But there are so many of these pictures, it would be an awful lot of work.
Awful lot of work.
For why? Why would you want to go to that length?
Truly,
very time-consuming. And as far as double exposures, it's impossible to do a double exposure in a digital camera.
Well, that's what we've been told.
It would have to be done later on.
Mm-hmm.
But as we said, looking in different directions,
it's not
a double exposure anyway.
No. And in some of them, the people's eyes would be closed, but in the second display of them, their eyes are open, looking in a different direction. It's just so bizarre. So I wanted to bring that up. You can follow her website. It's actually burlingtonnews.net. And she's got a Facebook page that is, it's actually facebook.com/sci-fi cafe. And that's SCIFICAFE. Now, she's not making any money off of these photographs or anything. They're there for you to look at. And if you're at all interested, you really should inspect this. Very strange. The other things that she does claim is Bigfoot encounters. She feels that Bigfoot is there. They come and they go. And like I said, things like nature spirits, tree spirits, she photographs. And she was only once chased out of that forest by what she believed were ETs. We had her on the radio, and I believe she spoke about this when she was with us. She and her husband had a business, and they hired this young kid who was homeless. She wanted to give him a job. So this kid knew when Mary and Brad were going to be going out for the tours. They proceeded to rob their business. Well, they had just, Mary and Brad with the tour group, had just arrived at the haunted forest, and then someone starts throwing these little stones at them. And Mary asked them to stop, but they didn't. So they said, okay, maybe we should just leave tonight. We don't know why the Sasquatch are upset, but we'll leave. One of the women in the group was pretty upset, and she has asthma, and she started having an asthma attack. And Mary had to lay her on the ground and get her calmed down. And Mary shouted at the Sasquatch to please stop, that this wooden woman couldn't breathe, and that they would resume leaving as soon as she felt better. The stone throwing stopped, and the woman got her breath, and they started walking out. and the Sasquatch purportedly started throwing stones. So when Mary got home, she found out who and what had happened, who had dropped them and what had happened, and they caught the guy, and it was one of her employees, one of her new employees. So the conclusion she drew was that the Sasquatch were trying to help her. They knew that something was going on. Pretty odd, huh?
Yes, it is pretty odd.
So I got to say, that's one of the more benevolent haunted forest stories that I know of. I mean, everything that happens there is truly very interesting, mind-blowing, and kind of consciousness-raising. But some of the others, some of these other stories that we've got tonight, some of them are very dark. So
some of these places are very dark, yes.
Yeah, just really dark supernatural stuff.
Let's not go to the real dark yet. Well, okay. Maybe we should.
Well,
I don't know.
Why don't you
semi-real dark.
Yeah, why don't
not
you do
the
that?
Worst, but...
Your turn, Willie.
My turn? Okay.
Oh, well, let me just mention, that was the Burlington Haunted Woods in Burlington, Michigan.
Okay. I got this from weirdnewjersey.com, and it's about... Probably most people have heard of the Pine Barrens in southern New Jersey.
Yeah.
Very strange place. And, of course, the most famous story from the Pine Barrens is the Jersey Devil. And that is one of the most oldest and most enduring and important pieces of folklore, is the tale of the infamous Jersey Devil. For close to 300 years now, Jerseyans have told tales of this mythical beast that stalks the Pine Barrens and terrorizes local residents. The recurring nature of this story begs a few questions. Why have the New Jerseyans embraced this legend so steadfastly and above all others? Is there actually some sort of creature roaming in the Pine Barrens of southern New Jersey? And if so, what is it? Do you know where the legend says that the Jersey Devil actually came from? Are you familiar
with it?
Wasn't
it a woman who was having her 13th child?
Exactly.
And she said something, I guess, in the throes of labor, and it wound up being a monster.
Yep. Well, she was not living a wealthy lifestyle by any means, and her husband was kind of a drunk, and he made no real effort to provide for her or the kids, and so reaching the point of absolute exasperation, when she learned that she was pregnant for the 13th time, she raised her hands to the heavens and proclaimed, "Let this one be a devil." Her name was Leeds. Mother Leeds went into labor a few months later on a stormy night. No longer she'd forgotten all about the curse. Her children and her husband huddled together in one room of their Leeds Point home, while local midwives gathered to deliver the baby in another. By all accounts, the birth went routinely, and the 13th Leeds child was a seemingly normal baby boy. Within minutes, however, Mother Leeds' unholy wish of months before began to come true. The baby started to change and metamorphosed right before her very eyes. Within moments, it transformed from a beautiful newborn baby into a hideous creature unlike anything the world had ever seen. The wailing infant began growling at an incredible rate. He's probably growling too, but growing at an incredible rate. It sprouted horns from the top of its head and talon-like claws through the tips of its fingers. Leathery, bat-like wings unfurled from its back, and hair and feathers sprouted all over the child's body. Its eyes began glowing bright and red as they grew larger. The creature savagely attacked its own mother, killing her, then turned its attention to the rest of the horrified onlookers who witnessed its transformation. It flew at them, clawing and biting, voicing unearthly shrieks the entire time. It tore the midwives limb from limb, maiming some and killing others. The monster then knocked down the door to the next room, where its own father and siblings cowered in fear and attacked them, killing as many as it could. Those who survived to tell the story, then the tale watched in horror as the rotten beast sprinted to the chimney and flew up, destroying it on the way and leaving a pile of rubble in its wake. The creature then made good its escape into the darkness and desolation of the Pine Barrens. where it has lived ever since. To this day, the creature, known varyingly as the Leeds Devil or the Jersey Devil, claims the pines as its own and terrorizes any who are unfortunate enough to encounter it.
Now, I got to ask you, that was the 1700s, right, when that happened?
That was, it was, where did that go? Yep, a long time ago.
Yep, okay, so let's say approximately 300 years. So you've got one little Jersey Devil, and how was this thing supposed to have survived? It must have an extraordinarily long longevity.
Yeah, apparently.
Poor thing, it probably hasn't reproduced unless, of course, it's... I was going to say ambidextrous, but that isn't the word I wanted.
No, that's the wrong word.
It must be getting, to me.
Must be getting awful lonely. No wonder it has such a bad, rotten disposition.
Yeah, no wonder it's attacking everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, the people have had encounters with it. There was one guy who he spent a lot of time in the Pine Barrens when he was growing up, and he had his share of experiences. When I was about 13, he said, I went camping alone near Hampton Furnace. I had a bow with me and went looking for rabbit dinner about an hour before sundown. Something started following me. Back in the trees, it tailed me back to my camp and circled while I cooked my dinner. This kept up until about 2 hours after dark, and let me tell you, it was one dark night. I finally decided that my visitor had moved on and crawled into my tent. When I just started to calm down, I heard a foot stomp right behind the tent. I got all set to jump out when this thing, whatever it was, started screaming. I would compare the volume of the scream to a large truck horn. I couldn't decide what to do. I had my bow and my knife, but they just didn't seem like much. After several loud screams, it just stopped. I didn't hear a sound except for my heart for about an hour. I was sure that if I stuck my head out of the tent, I'd lose it. In the morning, I could find no tracks in the pine needles, and to this day, I still don't like sleeping in a tent. Neither do I, but for different reasons, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, there's also rumors of ghosts in the pines. The Echo Ghost Boy. He dribbles his basketball in the darkness. The ghost story in the southern New Jersey town of Echo that tells of a young boy who was run down on a lonely stretch of road after chasing his basketball into the middle of the street. It was Christmas night, and a boy was out playing with a basketball that he got as a present when he got struck by a drunk driver speeding down a dead-end street. He hit the boy and decided to run. Only to come to the end of the road, the driver was forced to do a U-turn and drive back, passing the body of the boy he had just killed. Many versions exist of seeing the boy ghost. Most say that if you drive this lonely stretch of road late at night and then stop your car and flash your light 3 times, I don't understand that part, then shut the car off and just sit in the dark, it is said that you will see the apparition of the young boy dribbling a basketball across the street.
Well, you got to admit, some of this stuff, I think, winds up becoming urban legends.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
As far as the Jersey Devil, I mean, there is quite a bit of recorded witnesses having reported seeing this thing. So you do know that there's something there, you just don't really know what it is.
Yeah, there's apparently something very strange out there.
Some kind of an aberration. Right. But how did it survive this long? I know the word, it's hermaphrodite.
That's the word.
Hermaphrodite. So it must be either a hermaphrodite, or it's just waiting to couple up with another one of its kind, or a human, who knows? But how is it that it's gone on for this long? Makes you question what exactly was seen. Was it really a monster? But, you know, tales of it flying is... rampant. Many people see this thing flying.
Yeah, or is it all just...
many reports of this thing.
Yeah.
And kind of, it varies a little bit, but it's got red eyes, it's huge, it has jumped on people's cars.
Yeah, there was I read one account where somebody had seen it behind his car. He said it was easily about 8 feet tall.
I've heard of it jumping from trees and falling people.
Yeah.
There's something out there. So where did it come from? So
something lurks, you know, in the woods.
Yeah, you just never really know. So, okay, my turn?
It can be your turn if you want, or I can tell you a little bit more about New Jersey. It's up to you.
Go right ahead.
Right ahead. Save your voice, huh? There's a place called, just a couple of quick things, a place called Indian Cabin Road, which is a desolate, isolated roadway through the Pine Barrens with mysterious graves in the woods, crazed pineys, an abandoned orphan asylum, and the hermit child molester known as the Kruker. All parts of a weird journey down the cabin road. And then we had the Lindbergh of Mexico, they call him. This year marks the 86th anniversary of the fatal crash of Captain Emilio Carranza, the Mexican Lindbergh. Deep in a remote area of the New Jersey Pine Barrens, today an isolated monument stands where the doomed aviator fell from the sky. Some say his ghost still haunts the lonely place in the pines.
That's a sad story.
It is kind of a sad story, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, I guess we've got enough time. I'll finish up mine. I've got one shorter one here.
Okay.
All right, this haunted forest is, it's called Witchwood, and it's W-Y-C-H-W-O-O-D. It's Witchwood Forest in England. I got this information from Facebook's His Haunted History posts. And Witchwood Forest is basically an area that covers a small part of rural Oxfordshire. And here there was once an Anglo-Saxon tribe living here sometime around the 6th century. That's when they started living there. And since then, there have been legends of hauntings for centuries. So some of the paranormal phenomena are as follows. Witnesses have claimed the feelings of being watched, followed, and touched when no one else was visible. Visitors have often experienced a sensation of nausea, which actually is a frequent symptom of people who visit haunted locations. Also, strange sounds are heard, ranging from unseen horses to whispers and shouts. Other reports of the presence of invisible riders in the forest at night, and they can only hear the horses' hooves. And there are also reports of a horse-drawn cart, which has been seen by more than just one witness, carrying a couple as if they're parents, and then two sobbing children. And a cart, you know, that goes way back. Used to have carts carrying children and cargo and whatnot. And then there is one particular tree in Witchwood Forest that is supposedly haunted, and it's thought to have been used as a hanging tree. And this hits the local nerve here, and I'll explain in a minute. In other words, it was used to hang criminals who were sentenced to death by the local courts. And people have reported the sensation of a male presence around the tree and the feelings of oppression and dread. So there is a great big cemetery here in Portsmouth.
That's right.
And it's actually a combination of four cemeteries, and part of it goes way back. And it wasn't always as big as it is now in that there weren't that many people there. And it was often used as a site for hanging. They used to hang people in downtown Portsmouth, and then they also hung some people off in this big cemetery. It's called South Street Cemetery now. And there, it's a beautiful cemetery, and there are all kinds of little roads. Some of them have been tarred, but you can tell that some of the roads have been tarred over the earlier roads. So there is this one big twisted tree. It's a maple. It must have a 12-foot circumference, the trunk. And I have a feeling that it is a hanging tree. Now, there was definitely one there. There could have been more than one. So I did a little meditating down there, and I got some responses, and I can't help but feel that something happened with this tree or around this tree. So I do know that, well, trees can be haunted.
Tree, yeah.
And they do attribute the twisting trunk sometimes to negative energy. They say that vortexes will twist the trunk of a tree, but also negative energy. So maybe there's a difference between the two. Maybe it's the same thing. Mm. I don't know, but I do have a feeling that something happened to that tree.
Well, we do know that there were hangings in the cemetery. We don't know for sure that that was the tree.
We've
been told that the actual tree is not there, but
I think there may have been more than one.
Yeah,
we've been told that the hanging tree was cut. Yep. But there could have been two hanging trees. One might have been cut, and another one to continue the use for the same purpose. So it's just my intuition that something like that happened there. So these things do happen. And there's one other story connected with the Wychwood Forest in England, which I think is really interesting. And it's probably the most compelling story of this area. And it's the case of Amy Robsart. And she was the wife of the Earl of Leicester. And somehow she mysteriously got a broken neck. So, yeah, it makes you wonder what happened there. So once while her husband was out hunting in Wychwood Forest, she happened to confront him in ghostly form, and she predicted that he would join her in 10 days. And that's exactly what happened. After he fell ill, he died. And so it's said that anyone who meets the wraith of Amy will experience a similar fate. So it makes you wonder, she might have fallen down the stairs and broken her neck, but I wonder if her husband was somehow complicit in the event. Because it seems almost vengeful, you know?
It does.
Her appearing to him.
Yeah, I'll get you within 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently she appears to others, too. But, you know, these places are haunted because things have happened there, and some of them are really dark. And we've got a couple coming up that are really dark. But now we're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute. So please don't go away.
Supernatural Magazine, one of the UK's top paranormal magazines, provides support to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. It is the magazine's goal to bring every aspect of supernatural news and research from around the world under one roof to create a universal platform for all those interested in the supernatural. More information is available at supernaturalmagazine.com. And you are listening to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience on the Paranormal UK Radio Network. Welcome back to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. And tonight, we're talking about haunted forests. Strange places around the world that just, for some peculiar reason, just have strange goings on.
Mm.
Mm. And one of those places, this is a dark, very dark place. And I'm going to just totally slaughter the name of this. Okigahara Forest.
One in Japan.
Japan. And this seemingly serene forest at the foot of Mount Fuji is a tormented past known as the Suicide Forest. Okigahara is the world's second most popular site for suicides after the Golden Gate Bridge. Did you ever realize that? Golden Gate Bridge apparently is the number one place in the world.
I knew it was one of them.
I never realized that.
That's terrible.
It is.
Why would you want to jump off a bridge?
Why would you want to jump off anything that would hurt you?
Well, why would you want to commit suicide?
Well, I don't know. In 2010 alone, 247 people attempted to take their own lives here, in the forest, that is, and 54 of them were successful. Some blame this trend on the forest's association with demons in Japanese mythology. Others point towards the density of the trees, which muffles sound and makes it easy to get lost. In fact, many hikers will mark their path with tape or string to make it easier to find their way back out again. The sprinkling of clothing and letters left throughout the labyrinth woods gives Wakigahara that extra touch that will leave you in a cold sweat. And, of course, there are also apparitions, ghosts that are seen in the forest, presumably of the people who have committed suicide in there. And why would you want to go out into the woods?
I don't know. Why would you be led there?
I don't know.
There's
got to be something in that forest that draws people
to do that and think.
But then again, do people go there intentionally for this reason?
Yeah.
So
I don't understand.
So they're,
it's very sad, though.
Yeah. Another place, Dow Hill in Kyosiang, India. It's one of the most haunted places in the country. The cold, dark, and damp forest here creates a creepy environment. Frequent murders in this mysterious woods of Dow Hill have created an eerie atmosphere. The mystery of the Victory Boys Hostel and the Dow's Hill still puzzles the mind. Lots of paranormal activity has been recorded, especially in the corridors of the school and in the woods surrounding it. While returning home from a day's work, local woodcutters claim to see a young headless boy walking around the road between the Dow Hill Road and the forest office. The boy then eventually disappears into the woods, and locals believe that anybody who sees the apparition, gets haunted by it, even in their dreams. Locals also claim to hear footsteps in the corridors of the Victoria Boys School, especially in the months of December to March when the school is closed for vacation. However, no footprints, human or animal, have ever been found in the suspected area. And another place, many people have become restless and depressed. The feeling of misery has become so intense that it has led to several suicides.
That's sad.
Another case of suicide forest.
Yeah. Is that from Travel and Leisure, the Travel and Leisure site?
That is from, I believe it was.
Yeah, I think it is. Okay. On to another haunted forest, and this time it is in England again. England certainly does have its fair share of haunted forests. I love England. Anyway, the name of this one is, it's short and sweet, but there is one reason why I highlighted this one. It's called Dering Woods in Smarden, England. And this I got from CondéNastTraveler.com. And the Dering Woods in England are commonly referred to as the Screaming Woods. Visitors report hearing blood-curdling screams coming from the forest depths at night, as well as footsteps and whispers on foggy days. The screams are often attributed to a highwayman who was captured and killed by villagers in the 18th century. Others believe the hauntings are the result of a 1948 massacre. Now, in addition to this, there were 20 people. I'm sorry, it's the same event. A 1948 massacre where 20 people were supposedly found dead in the forest the morning of November 1st. So residents reported seeing strange lights emanating from the woods on Halloween night.
Halloween night.
And autopsies of the bodies could not determine a cause of death for those 20 people. I just think that's really, really strange.
It is really strange.
So because of that strangeness in particular, I chose Daring Woods. But the next one, I think the most quintessential haunted woods on our list, is got to be Clapham Woods in England. Again, this is located in West Sussex in England, and it's north of a small village of the name of Clapham. For those of us here in the United States, just to give you an idea of where this is all at. So, historically, Clapham has been around for most likely since the time of the Saxons. And by the way, I've got this information from sjhstrangetaleswordpress.com. The area of rural West Sussex is one of those intriguing places which seems to run the full gamut of unexplained phenomenon, and it has been the seat of both historic and urban legends because of its UFO sightings, animal disappearances, murder, ghosts, and rumors of satanic ritual. So whether you believe in the paranormal or not, this area in general is regarded as a location of high strangeness. So now, some of the reports have been, if you walk there, you might get nauseated. There's the distinct feeling of being followed. And also, it's noteworthy to mention that a lot of times, people who visit these haunted forests either get sick or they get some kind of illness. There are also reports of seeing strange gray mists suddenly appear on pathways throughout the woods, and there have been instances of ghostly forces pushing hikers and dog walkers alike for many years. And also worthy of mention is the fact that radiation levels have displayed higher than normal readings, and that coincides with the fact that strange lights and high strangeness in the area go back hundreds of years. So, some of the specifics of the reports. In 1967, in the nearby village of Rustington, two schoolboys were playing around with a Ouija board, and the message that they received was that Clapham Woods, which they claimed they had never heard of before, was a base for spacecraft, and that one had landed recently to collect sulfur and other chemicals. And we have heard this, that ETs are coming to visit because they like our natural resources. This is not the first time I've heard of this. Or you either, Willie, right?
Oh, me either. I've heard that, too.
Okay. Some other reports. In the 1970s, there was a local church warden. His name was David Bennett, and he liked to record nightingales. But to his dismay, he found that he could no longer hear them. It seemed that the woods had gone ominously silent. So men working in the area reported that wildlife had also seemed to have deserted the woods. And other hikers and walkers there, they would experience headaches, stomach cramps, or they would just feel sick. And several people have reported being pushed over by an invisible force and feeling faint. And on one occasion, two men were taken ill at the same time. One doubled over in pain, and the other one clutched his head. And they walked for about another 50 yards away from the woods before the sensation stopped. So, another report is, in August of 1977, Dave Stringer, who's a member of the Southern Paranormal Investigation Group, visited the area and said that he saw a dark shape about 12 feet in height. And he said a large white disc shot from behind nearby trees and disappeared into the sky. So once it had finally gone, Stringer retraced his steps and he found an imprint, listen to this, of a four-toed animal, or whatever, four-toed. He made a sketch of the footprint, and he did some research, and it is believed that it resembles, his illustration resembles what is believed to be a demon. So it makes you wonder, what the heck? There's something associated with the lights in the UFO. Really briefly, there have been murders. There was a 47-year-old police officer, Peter Goldsmith, who disappeared. And he was out hiking. He was in very good shape. He was an ex-Royal Marine Commando. His body was found 6 months later, hidden in a patch of brambles. Let me see. I won't go over all of these, but There was several murders, and then there was the rape of a woman. And apparently, most of these have not been satisfactorily resolved. And there have been animal disappearances, pets leaving their walkers and then never being found again. And then here's something interesting. One of the authors of The Demonic Connection, a Mr. Charles Walker, claimed he was contacted by a spokesman for a cult that is supposed to be operating within the woods of Clapham Woods. And he decided that he would meet with this fellow, so he cycled to the designated spot, and he was spoken to by an individual from behind a bush. And this individual warned him to back off from investigating this particular group called the Friends of Hecate that were believed to perform satanic rituals. And he said to him, he said to this Charles Walker who wrote the book, there are people in high places involved holding high positions of power and authority who will not tolerate any interference. We will stop at nothing to ensure the safety of our cult.
Mm.
And this warning came close on the heels of this Reverend Snelling who disappeared. And that happened just barely a week before. So to this day, Clapham Woods has an unnerving effect on people. There's silence and there's no bird song. It's sort of like what Jenny Randall's calls the Oz factor. There's just dead silence.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of pain and suffering there, murders, dogs, disappearings, and so forth. And it's safe to say that anywhere there are the Friends of Hecate, I certainly won't be there. But it's probably a good place to stay away from, skeptic or not.
I would say
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that would be my opinion, stay away from there. And, you know, I have to notice that a lot of the things that you say in there also apply to another place you're talking, I mean... not only are these places haunted, but UFOs, strange animals, Bigfoot, for instance.
Makes you wonder if there's a connection.
Cult activity.
Cults, yep.
And all of that stuff happens in a place that is more local to us here, Freetown State Forest in Massachusetts.
Oh, yes, and that's right in our backyard, practically.
That's just about in our backyard. One of the most singularly bizarre locations on the planet. Freetown Fall River State Park in Massachusetts, a place so saturated in the bizarre and unexplained that it has become almost the very definition of the term haunted forest. Usually referred to just as Freetown State Forest, it is a large swath of forested land located around Freetown and Fall River in Massachusetts, with the bulk of the forest passing through the center of the town of Freetown. It's approximately 5,440 acres and has around 50 miles of unpaved roads and trails, which are used by a large number of hikers and bicyclists in the summer, cross-country skiers, and dog sledders in the winter. But besides its scenic beauty, outdoor activities, and interesting history, Freetown State Forest is perhaps the most well-known for intense amount of bizarre, unexplainable phenomena. The forest sits squarely within the infamous Bridgewater Triangle, which is a 200-square-mile area within the southeastern Massachusetts that is the epicenter of a mind-boggling array of inexplicable, bizarre phenomena reported since colonial times. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. That's nowhere near Leominster, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
I didn't know if maybe it was the state forest there. It's not part of that, though, is it?
No, not okay.
So. There are several strange places in Massachusetts, then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, several strange places and outside of the haunted ones.
Freetown.
Things here include strange creatures, Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, specters, ominous black helicopters, mysterious orbs of light, strange disappearances, giant snakes, poltergeist activity, cattle mutilations, just to name a few.
How do you get poltergeist activity in an area like that? I wonder what's happening.
I don't know.
A story on that one? Well, I'll wait.
Yeah. Well, just sit tight.
Okay.
Okay. When discussing the numerous cases of strange phenomena within the Freetown State Forest, it's hard to even know where to begin. The forest is said to be home to a race of diminutive creatures. This is the only reason I actually chose this story.
Just because of little people.
I could say this. Pudgewookies.
The Pudgewookies?
I just love to say the word Pudgewookie. Although they got a different, it's Pugwudgies.
Pugwudgie, is it? Pugwudgie. Yep.
Well, they got it with a K, Pugwudgie.
I think they're mistaken.
But that's how they spelled it. On okay. mysteriousuniverse.org. Blame them. Because I like to go with Pudgewookie, just because it's fun. Anyway, they've been long known by the native Wampanoag tribe. These creatures are described as being troll-like beasts, around 2 or 3 feet in height, with smooth, hairy, gray skin that is said to glow on occasion.
Smooth, hairy, gray skin?
I know, it doesn't quite make sense, does
no.
it? Smooth and hairy?
Yeah.
But, again, mysteriousuniverse.org.
Okay.
The Pudgewookies have a notorious reputation for mischief and mayhem and are said to intentionally startle people by throwing rocks or sand in their face, push or shove them, kidnap them, hurl them from the cliffs, wrestle with them, and even attack them with knives or spears. The creatures are also said to be competent magic users and shapeshifters. The natives of the area have long given these creatures a wide berth, claiming that they are not to be approached or trifled with. Although this may seem at first glance as nothing more than spooky folklore, there are numerous visitors to the forest, even today, who have claimed to have seen such creatures. And the mischievous beasts have been blamed as the cause of the unusual number of people who have supposedly fallen from cliffs to their deaths in the area. Freetown State Forest is littered with places that seem to be possessed of some dark power. Perhaps the most infamous of these is an 80-foot-deep rock quarry known as Assinet Ledge, or simply The Ledge. This area was once owned by the Fall River Granite Company and has become associated with a range of weird phenomena. The quarry has an inordinate amount of abandoned cars left here and is the location for numerous, here we go again, suicides.
Wow.
Another place.
Well, let me mention there, quarries. There are often people that are found dead in quarries, but with no determination of death. I mean, it harkens to some of David Politis' stories, a lot of mystery surrounding that. There's something really supernatural about quarries.
Apparently there is.
Yeah.
So visitors to the ledge have reported being overcome with an urgent, unshakable sense of dread and foreboding. And when venturing near the quarry, and the area has been rumored to be alleged hotspot for Satanists and strange cults, as well as ghost sightings. There are numerous reports of people seeing ghosts jumping from the ledge only to disappear before they hit the water, or merely standing ominously at the top of the ledge.
That's strange.
And this area was also known the site of a particularly infamous UFO sighting, allegedly made in 1974 by then-Governor Ronald Reagan. The story goes that Reagan was flying in a Cessna over the ledge with pilot Air Force Colonel Bill Paytner and 2 security personnel when a strange light was noticed to be tailing the plane. The light was seen to accelerate, decelerate, and become elongated, all within the space of a few minutes. It then is reported to have suddenly shot up at a 45-degree angle at a high rate of speed and disappear.
And Reagan said, what the hell was that?
And Reagan said, let's get out of here. Take me back to California. Do you want to hear more about Freetown?
Yeah, what else happened there?
Oh, another site worth a look is the large granite outcropping known as Profile Rock, also sometimes called Joshua's Mountain. The rock is about 50 feet high and has a striking likeness to a human face. According to the legends of the native Wampanoag people, the rock takes the image of Wampanoag chief Massasoit and is the location of where the chief's son died. The tribe has long held the rock to be a sacred place, and it has over the years been associated with a variety of ghostly phenomena, such as strange glowing disembodied voices, orbs of light, and sinister apparitions. And, indeed, haunted places come in spades in Freetown. There's just all kinds of places. Hmm. And one dark and mysterious place located in the forest is the Hockomock Swamp, which is a vast wetland which covers the northern portion of southernmost Massachusetts and is the largest freshwater swamp in the state.
Are you saying that Hockomock is part of this Freetown state?
It's in the Freetown State Forest.
Forest, okay.
Which is located in the Bridgewater Triangle.
Okay. Well, there are also sightings of, I don't know about Massasoit himself, but Native Americans in canoes.
Yeah, that's right. We've heard that too.
Yeah.
The swamp gets its name from the native Wampanoag people and means literally place where the spirits dwell. Believing it to be inhabited by both sinister spirits as well as more benign, helpful spirits, the swamp is remote, treacherous area of brush and thick, impenetrable trees and vines and marshes. Early settlers to the area quickly learned of the swamp's dangers and numerous alleged ghosts prowling its darkness and called it the Devil's Swamp. The list of weirdness to be found within the Hockomock Swamp encompasses everything from ghosts to UFOs, to strange beasts lurking within its depths. Some of the creatures said to be spotted here are giant pterodactyl-type creatures, giant red-eyed dogs, and the glowing eyes of unseen creatures hovering in the darkness. There are also numerous reports of a shaggy ape-like creature within the swamp. That sounds like Bigfoot, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole area is very strange.
It is.
And that's just not a small woods. That's many, many acres.
No, it's 5,000 and something acres.
Yeah.
In addition to the strange creatures and haunted, mysterious locales, Freetown State Forest also hosts a fair share of brutal murders, unsolved crimes, and alleged cult activity.
Yeah, you get lost and nobody's going to find you.
Yeah. Here we go again with the cult activity. The area has long been reported having... has long been a reported haven for cultists and satanists. In the late 1970s and 80s, in particular, a spike in sinister cult activities in the forest, with police finding various pieces of evidence that supported the existence of such activities, including an actual underground bunker that was apparently used to carry out various cult rituals and possibly even human sacrifice.
Hmm.
So,
don't like
it. There's the Freetown State Forest in Massachusetts.
Well, when are you going, Mr. Brave Man?
You know, I would, but I don't like swamps.
Ah, okay. Those big snakes are a deterrent for me.
I think I'll go to Jersey first, see if I can scare up the devil down there before I go to Hockomock.
I don't know, Willie. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you wish for.
Be careful what you say. Be careful where you go.
Be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Okay, well, I've got a really short one here. Not to discredit what you said. That's just an amazing place. There's one more. I want to talk about I'm not sure in the pronunciation because it's actually Romanian, I believe. It's in Transylvania, Romania, and it's spelled H-U-I-A. B-A-C-I-U. So I don't know if that's Hoya Bashu, the Hoya Bashu Woods, or Hoya Bashu. It didn't give a pronunciation.
Achu.
Or Achu, yeah.
Kind of like sneezing.
But according to travelandleisure.com, this place has been known to captivate the attention of all kinds of bad stuff for more than a century. Residents of nearby towns claim that the forest, which has a circular clearing at the center, is a portal, and that those who pass through it may never return. Apparently, a lot of people have been lost in this forest and disappeared. So anyone who does survive reports feelings of anxiety and nausea, the whole time they're there, and once they leave, they feel better. And they talk about the trees, and they say that they're all twisted and they're in knots. It's just a strange-looking place. It reminds me of the Japanese one that you just talked about.
Yeah.
Because I saw pictures of both of them, and they're just, they look haunted with fog and whatnot. But that clearing sounds like, you know, like a UFO landing spot. And maybe people are passing through to another dimension with UFOs. Possibility.
Maybe, yeah, maybe they are.
But, you know, it's the same place as Dracula, and I just don't feel like going.
You don't want to go meet Dracula?
You know, I just don't feel like going to his stomping ground.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, speaking of strange circles and possible UFO landing sites and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, I would just love to tell you about the Devil's Tramping Ground in North Carolina. But you know what?
Not
I don't have time.
Well, we're you've got about a minute, don't mm-hmm. you?
I can't quite do it in a minute.
Okay.
So we're all out of time, but there's another place where strange things happen.
Yeah.
Things go into the circle and mysteriously get thrown out again.
And disappear. Mm. Well, I'll just mention two other forests. I won't get into them, but there's the Randall Forest in Maine, so there's another one that's local. And there's also the Epping Forest in Essex, England. Again, both really interesting stories on those if other people are interested in looking up some haunted locations.
And speaking of Maine, of course, there's always the Haynesville Woods.
Haynesville?
Haynesville. Up near the,
I ain't heard of them.
You ain't heard of them?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey.
I'll do some research.
Okay, you do that.
So that about wraps it up for Haunted Forest for this evening.
And that about wraps it up for Spirit Radio for this week.
Okay, so everyone, thank you for listening and have a great evening. You have been listening to Spirit Radio, The Paranormal Experience, with your hosts, Willie Hassel and Lynn Nickerson, on the Paranormal UK Radio Network.
In this one of many possible worlds, all for the best, or some bizarre test, it is what it is, and whatever, time is still the infinite jest. The arrow flies when you dream. The hours tick away, the cells tick away. The watchmaker keeps to his ease. The hours tick away, they tick away. The measure of a life is a measure of life. So hard to earn, so easily.